We're talking with Billy Reed from Reed's Orchard in Owensboro. Billy, you've been involved in the apple business for a long time. Tell me a little bit about your family's history there and how long you've been involved with apples in Kentucky.
Well, we've been here 145 years. My great-grandfather came from Scotland back in 1873 to work in the tobacco industry. His brothers owned factories. I'm not sure what a factory was back then, but it was a factory, and he came over to help them. And he ate his first peach in New York City. And when he moved into Kentucky to work, he decided he didn't care for tobacco, and he started growing apples and peaches and all types of vegetables. So that's how we got started. So tobacco, you know, was important in Kentucky. It brought my family from Scotland to Kentucky, but it put us in the fruit and vegetable business instead.
And you grow apples as well as peaches and other things at your farm?
Right. We grow strawberries, blackberries, apples, peaches, then all type of vegetables. So we have a farm market here that's open year round, so we have all type of produce.
Tell me a little bit about the apples, specifically talking about how your orchards are laid out and maybe some of the changes that you've seen in varieties here over the past 20-25 years.
Yeah, apple has changed a lot. Like the peach industry, we still grow the same peach, the same rootstock, been growing for about 75 to 100 years. But apples is a different story. They've changed a lot since the 80s. And before, up into the 80s, you would just plant regular trees, regular-sized trees, and plant them about, you know, maybe probably somewhere around 50 to 70 trees per acre. But then we've kind of changed, gone to the high-density trees. These are special rootstocks that dwarf the tree down, so you have to usually probably support them, and you're probably putting anywhere from 150 to 450 trees per acre. So they got to be trellised, they got to be braced, they got to be protected from the wind. But you get a quicker variety, probably your apple comes in quicker. And the old way we planted, you waited 7-8 years before you got the production. But by using high densities, we can be in production in 3 years. And then we've got these new varieties that people are demanding to get in production, to have on your market quicker. We have to use the high density apple trees to get them on the market quicker, because apple varieties are changing so quick now.
So in other words, for someone that's thinking about putting in some apples, a small or large orchard for the first time, they're not going to only have the expense of the rootstock and the varietals, but also the expense of the high density trellis systems and all that, correct?
That's correct. And just putting in a high density is not very simple anymore. First off, you got to know what rootstock you want, how dwarf a tree you're going to want, and then you got to match it with the right sign, which is could be a Yellow Delicious or Jonathan or Red Delicious. Red Delicious tend to be a little dwarfer tree. Yellow Delicious tends to be a bigger tree. So you got to match the rootstock with the sign so of the fruit, so you can make sure you don't have big trees, little trees. And that's just not all. You got to understand what type of soil you have. If you have a rich, deep soil, you probably have to use a smaller rootstock. If you're in hard clay ground, you probably have to use a bigger rootstock to get a bigger tree so to grow up the right height you want. So there's a lot of matching put together on this program to plant a high density. You just can't just go out and order trees. So many places, they always advertise, we sell semi-dwarf trees. Well, that could be either a 90% tree or a 20% tree. So you got to know what rootstock you're planting before you do anything.
Now, you mentioned understanding the soil type and just what the farm's soil conditions are. Walk us through a little bit before you're planting and the orchard. What do you do in terms of preparing the field where you're going to plant?
Well, we usually prepare it the year before, just put a cover crop in it, break it under, disc it in, and then let it go through the wintertime. Then we mark the fields off. It depends on if it's going to be the rows, or it might be 20 feet apart or 16 feet apart. It depends on the variety I'm planting. And then we mark in between the trees. They can be anywhere from 7 feet apart or 12 feet apart. So it depends on what variety I'm going to be planting and what rootstock I'm going to be using in the next planting. So it's very important to understand your rootstocks and how they match up with the variety that you're going to plant.
Now, we're talking in 2018 here. Certainly, consumers are always changing their preferences for apples and varieties. What are some of the more popular varieties that you're selling this year, that you will be selling?
We still sell the standard, the Yellow Delicious Jonathan, Galas, Fujis, but there's a big change the last 5 years ago, and what's changing is that trying to buy trees from nurseries are getting to be a lot harder to buy because they only grant their bud the variety that you order, and a lot of times you're going to wait 3 years out before you can get your trees. So a lot of things are changing in the nurseries when you try to order trees, and also it's what's called a club. They call it a club. You got to be a member of this club to buy certain varieties. So you just can't buy any varieties. These new varieties that you're seeing in the market are probably protected, that can be only grown in certain states, or you got to be a member of this club to buy these trees. So that's a big change that we've seen in the last 5 years. You can probably still order your Jonathan, Red Delicious, Yellow Delicious, but when you go to certain Pink Ladies, Zastar, few Galas, and then we have this the Honeycrisp, which is several new varieties of Honeycrisp, you just can't order all of these new varieties unless you're a member.
So lots of homework and research to do before picking the varieties.
That's right. If you find a variety you want, you got to find a nursery that's going to have it. And if you're going to call today and order it, it's probably going to be 3 years out to get it, that variety on a rootstock that you want. Because we've got a lot of new rootstocks. We had what's called the M varieties, the Molly 9s, the M106. Now we got the Geneva varieties out of New York, and we're kind of switching into the Geneva variety rootstock. They're seeming to be a lot better for certain diseases. They're better for farm blight. They're better if you're going to replant back in the old orchard. So you got all new rootstocks that just showed up last 3 years ago too. So it's very confusing how to plant an apple orchard. You're going to have to research, understand your soil type. Just give you an example of soil type we have here at Reed Orchard. When I plant a bud 9, that tree in about 5 years can be 12 to 14 feet tall. I have some other friends in Kentucky, when they plant a bud 9, they can only get about 8 feet tall. So you got to understand your soil. Very important to understand what type of soil you have and what type of rootstock you're going to put in the ground, plus what type of variety apples that's going to be budded onto those rootstocks.
And one of the things about selecting a rootstock is you're picking rootstocks that may be resistant to certain diseases. You mentioned fire blight here a minute or two ago. What are some of the other diseases that are so important to think about even before you're planting?
Basically, the rootstock, we're having problems with the far blight, and that's why we're going to the Genevas. They're more resistant to the far blight, and I'm talking about just the far blight around the trunk. Mm-hmm. Also, you have some other problem. If it's too wet, some of these trees can stand wetter soil. And also, if you're old orchard and you don't have enough ground to start a new orchard, you can use some of these Geneva rootstocks back in the old ground where the disease are at that will not affect the Geneva varieties. So the Genevas are what we're learning, but they're hard to get because they're new. They've only been out there 3 years. So if you're trying to get a Geneva rootstock, that's the reason you got to plan ahead.
And in terms of by the time the trees are maturing and starting to bear fruit, what are some of the more important diseases and pests that you're keeping an eye out for and keeping on top of as you're growing apples there in Owensboro?
Well, the main thing early in the spring is what we're really concerned about is far blight or scab. Scab seems to be an old problem years ago with the new chemicals. We don't have the problem, but we still have the far blight, and that has to do with during bloom, when apples in bloom, if rains or moisture in your buds or your blooms and the temperature's high enough, you're going to have infection. But the infection, once you have the infection, you don't see that for 4 weeks later before you see the problem. So I have so many people call and tell me, well, I've got this limb dying down. What do I spray? I said, well, you're 4 weeks too late. It had to have been sprayed 4 weeks ago during bloom to control it. So That's one thing people are always waiting afterwards to spray to try to solve the problem. So you always spray what you call preventive spray so you don't have a lot of disease, because it's easy to put a spray on every 10 days or 2 weeks to control disease before it happens.
And what about insects? Any particular insects that are troublesome for apples? Or
the cotton moth is still a problem in Kentucky. We don't have we don't have that problem in this area, but there's some places in Kentucky they really have problem with the cotton moth, and that's basically what they call as you're growing up, you always see the apple with a worm in it. That was the cotton moth, because once she lays the eggs, they hatch and they drill into the apple, and the worms come from that. So those cotton moth is one problem. Sometimes we have problems with scales. There's all type of insects can pop up from different times. So you'd be watching one insect and for a year or two, and then there's another problem. So that's the reason we use what's called IPM program, Integrated Pest Management. So we're always monitoring, or we got pheromone traps out trying to catch the moths or the insects, so we know what's going on in our orchard.
Now, Reed's Orchard is known for its Apple Festival every fall. You all have had that for a long time. Tell us a little bit about that and how important agritourism and inviting the public to your place is for your orchard.
Well, we started that about 35 years ago, and we've been here for many years, but we thought we had a lot of new people moving in and out of Orangeboro and Davis County, so we decided after the harvest of apples that we would just have a small festival just to invite people out to enjoy the weekend, to try apples, kind of have some carnival rides, just entertainment. And the first year we had like 1,200 people to 1,000 people showed up, and now we have somewhere from 20 to 24,000 people show up on that weekend. We have about 100 craft booths. It's all handcraft item. We have big carnival rides going on. There's like 25 food booths. It's really became a big fundraiser for a lot of the organizations in Davis County.
And it's been recognized both in Kentucky and in the Southeast as a major event and a top festival, top events.
It has. And then some ask me, how did you grow it? And I don't think we really did that much. I think it was the time of year. It was late fall. It was end of the fall season. People still want to get out and enjoy the nice, beautiful fall weather, because usually a week or 2 weeks afterwards, we have that time change and it gets dark so quick. And it seems like we all move inside in the wintertime. So it's just a great time of the year to do it. The atmosphere is great, and people just love to see their friends before the wintertime comes.
Now, for someone who's thinking about apples, just to kind of end our time here, they may not need to have a festival that attracts tens of thousands of people to their place, but in Kentucky, can you talk about the importance of being willing to take that product directly to your customers in order to be profitable in the apple business?
Yeah, you've got to change with the time, especially with the new varieties. You're still going to have your basic apples, Yellow Delicious, Red Delicious, Jonathan, the sweet apples, the tart apples. But there's so many new varieties, Honeycrisp, the Galas, all new type of Galas, all type of new Fujis, Pink Lady, Zastar. There's so many different ones. So you kind of got to plan a few of those to find out what your customers really want. So when you start selling them, you have to give out samples, because everybody has a different taste that they want. Some people like that sweet tart taste, someone just a sweet apple, and someone a very tart apple. So you got to find out in your area where you're growing them what's the demand is, because I know here in Kentucky, in Davis County, it's kind of a sweet taste. When you cross the river into Illinois, it's more of a tart taste. The people like more a tart apple than they do the sweet apple.
So important to know that market even before that crop goes in the ground. Billy Reed from Reed's Orchard in Owensboro, thank you so much for your time here today and for sharing with us a little bit about growing apples in Kentucky.
Thank you.